The Monty Show, Wednesday, October 17th, episode number 200. Hey, little buddy.
Hello.
That's Jake.
Hello.
I'm Monty, and all we do is espouse about sports on this show, and we've done it for 200 episodes now. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, pretty big time.
Not bad,
we're kind of a big deal.
No, we're not.
Oh, okay.
I am. You're not. I'm kind of a big deal.
Right.
Know. But whatever, it's fine. A lot to get to today. Our regular Wednesday feature, top five, bottom five in the National Football League. And we're going to play a little game, real or fake, on quarterbacks. Craig Counsell played himself.
Good try, bud.
He played himself. Craig Counsell, I think the Brewers are the best team left in the playoffs. And Craig Counsell screwed that up today. We are watching Houston and the Red Sox tonight, and we're watching the New Orleans Pelicans dismantle the Houston Rockets, which is happening in Houston. And we have had so many conversations about whether or not the Houston Rockets are as good, better, or worse than they were last season. And what I'm seeing tonight doesn't make me feel good that they are as good as they were last year.
What, Melo's lack of defense is surprising?
Well, he's coming off the bench, which I think actually is a little surprising.
I mean, considering he was on the I'm not playing off the bench tour for quite some time there.
Yeah, so, and as the week goes on, obviously a lot of NBA teams will debut and will have the opportunity to get into how great the Lakers are going to be and the fact that they're going to win 162 games this year.
Yeah, yes.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I'll stop. Okay. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Yeah, you know, a lot of people ask us about this podcast on a daily basis, and it's quite remarkable that we've gotten to 200 shows, and we've only gotten to 200 shows because you guys listen and you guys digest the show and you interact with us on Twitter, and we really appreciate that. You know, the last probably 6-8 weeks on this show have been unbelievable download numbers. Like our numbers are way up. And again, I say this a lot, and I know it's not only Twitter, but you know, according to our metrics, a lot of it comes through Twitter. iTunes and Google Play are obviously huge factors for us as well. iHeartRadio, Stitcher delivers a lot of listens for us. But wherever you get this show, we really appreciate you spending time with us and tweeting at us and, you know, just talking about the things that we all like to talk about, whether that's college football. Today, it's the NFL. You know, a lot of times it's our personal life, Jake being an idiot, getting rear-ended in traffic because he's a terrible driver. Like, it's all of that stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's all in this one big ball of fun.
You know, what movies we choose to go and see. By the way, I did see, and I can't remember the name, the Bradley Cooper
Gaga movie. The Star Is Born.
Yeah, great movie. Great movie. I thought for sure it was going to be a chick flick. It was a good movie. But it's stuff like that that makes this fun, you know, that we get to interact with you guys on a daily basis and that we kind of talk about everything, whether it's a little bit of Trump, whether it's, again, movies, gadgets, iPhones, cars, shoes. It's kind of cool to do this. And we've done it 200 times now, which is not an insignificant feat. Now, of course, we've taken a couple of months off or a week off or... But generally, we put out 5 shows every single week.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're new to the show, we do picks and locks every Friday during the football season. 5-0 in college football last week.
Yeah, Swami Monty.
Don't forget Uncle Monty when you're cashing those checks.
Okay.
By the way.
Count it up.
Did you see that? Isn't Mega Millions, combined Mega Millions and Lotto are over $1 billion
yes.
right now? Are you
rack them up?
Rack them up. Jake routinely tells me that I am wasting my money because I play Mega Millions pretty much every week. And Jake, you essentially tell me I waste my money on it.
You waste your money until you win.
Yeah, it's at $900 million right now.
Probably not a waste of an investment if you win.
You know, I spend $6 a week on it. I think I'm fine. $6. And what it maybe it's, let's say it's $1,000 over my life. For $900 million, I think I'm good. Anyway, the bottom line is, we appreciate you listening to the show. We appreciate you interacting. And without further ado, let's stop talking about the show and do the show. It's Wednesday, and that means top five, bottom five in the National Football League. Why don't we flip the script and start with the crappy teams? I don't know why we do the best teams every week first. Let's do the really bad teams. I think the fifth worst team, and this is some work. I put in about 4 or 5 hours putting this top five, bottom five together today. Sitting on the couch, took a glorious nap today.
The Niners better be the worst team on the list, and if they're not, I'll be disappointed.
The Niners are not one of the five worst teams in the NFL.
Okay, well, their defense is awful.
Their defense is awful, but what they showed against Green Bay keeps them out of the bottom five. You don't like that.
I'm just bitter about it. Aaron Rodgers should have lost that game, and of course now everybody's got to shine him for, well, what a performance down the stretch. Maybe you could keep them from running out routes constantly. I mean, I know that's a very, you know, that's rocket science, I know. But, you know, it's the last minute of the game, they don't have timeouts, you know.
It was close between the Colts and the Niners. The Niners are the sixth worst team, which means they're not in the five worst teams, which is why the Colts are. And you know why the Colts are? So I did a deep dive on Andrew Luck today, and I feel like Andrew Luck is better than the numbers say he is. And one of the numbers that really stands out to me is that the wide receivers in Indianapolis have dropped 12 passes in the last two games, and they have 17 total drops on the season. That's dead last in the NFL. They are the worst.
Brick hands.
Worst wide receiver group. And by the way, for drops, they're the worst. They're 28th of 32 in the NFL. And when you don't score a lot of points, you better stop people. And their defense is actually average. It's 16th, second most points allowed, though. But they're on the field a lot. They're 16th in defense. All their offense has to do is score some points, and they'd be fine. But they don't. And that's why the Indianapolis Colts are the fifth worst team in the NFL. And we're going to do real or fake on quarterbacks, which we're going to tell you which quarterback performances we believe in and which ones we think are just a bunch of bunko. Where are you at with Andrew Luck?
Well, I think it's interesting with Andrew Luck, the conversation has been that he can't drive the football down the field. But now that you make the point that, well, he is hitting his targets, he is executing the throws, they're just dropping them and making it look bad. You know, so to me, if he's executing, if he's doing his part and his receivers just aren't pulling through for him, that's not on him. And I think it's amazing when you watch an NFL game, if you watch just how an offense executes, if they're making that catch, if they're making the little plays, if you can be third and two instead of third and eight by catching the football, you're going to be in a really good place.
The problem is he's 26th in passer rating in the NFL, which is not good. He's got 16 touchdowns versus 8 interceptions, so 2-1 is okay. But you just don't like the fact that he's averaging 6.2 yards a completion.
It's
That's terrible.
It's not enough.
It's terrible.
And that's why we say and we've shared this sentiment for a while about Andrew Luck based on what we've seen. His shoulder clearly is not what it used to be.
Right.
And I get that the expectation wasn't that it was going to be what it used to be, because frankly what it used to be was awesome. But at the same time, you got to be better than 6 yards per attempt. That's just not in the NFL. It's a passing league. You've got to be able to push the ball down the field. And once you're able to push the ball down the field, then you can start running the ball. And so if you can't do that, you're not going to be successful. And so if you're the Colts, the question is, how long do you stick with him? How long-term viability-wise, you have to really question. Okay,
will he be their quarterback, you know, a year from now, 5 years
from
now?
What do you have to do? Yeah. What needs to be true for Andrew Luck to win a Super Bowl with the Colts? How much talent do they need?
This is, by the way, very different than what happened with Peyton Manning there.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people want to make that comparison, but it's not the same thing. I think you have to, I'm not going to say throw this year out, but you just have to let him get his feet wet this year and see what that shoulder becomes and how he progresses. I think if he continues to struggle next year, if he's in the mid to high 20s in quarterback rating, you can't have him.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Colts are the fifth worst team. That would mean that the Bills are number four. They're the fourth worst team. Do you know who the Bills' starting quarterback is Sunday?
Hello.
Derek Anderson off the street. Week two on the team is now the starting quarterback. You know that your boy, Josh Allen, has this elbow injury. He's going to be out for several weeks. Derek Anderson of the Browns, of the Panthers. Derek Anderson is the starting quarterback. Here's the problem. They're dead last in the pass, fewest points scored, and their defense is actually okay. They're the number six defense in the NFL. They just need a quarterback who can deliver the football. And I'm not here to tell you that Derek Anderson is your Huckleberry there, but you can't play Nate Peterman.
Yeah.
You cannot play Peterman by any stretch. I don't know that he should even be on an NFL roster, Peterman. Like, all he does is throw interceptions. But they've got to do something other than nothing to get themselves back into a position to start winning games. Because I don't care who's back there. You know, if it is Josh Allen, what does that matter if you cannot pass the football? And if you cannot run the football, it's remarkable to me that they're 17th in the run and dead last in the pass.
Awful.
Like, they're terrible against the pass. And their offensive line is not the worst offensive line in the NFL, which is very telling. They're able to block for their quarterbacks. Their quarterbacks just don't make plays. And by the way, I think a lot of that is the fact that you don't have very good wide receivers.
Yeah,
I think that's part of it.
I feel like you've talked about this. Their receiving core has continued to let them down, but the problem is how are you letting someone down when you're just not a great talent? You're not upper echelon talent. And I get that it's a Bills, and they're not in win mode right now. They're just kind of in put a team on the field mode, and I understand that. But
dead last wide receiver grading.
Yeah,
dead
you know, I think as a team, from the team perspective, now that Josh Allen's hurt, I don't know really what you're playing for. So these numbers really are just this is just who they are, and signing this dude off the street, like, that's great. This guy's a punching bag at this point.
But he's been a solid NFL professional. He's not ever been a really good starting quarterback, but I think he's better than Peterman, which is saying something. That's why the Bills are the fourth worst team in the NFL. The New York Football Giants are the third worst team. This is all about Eli Manning. The seventh fewest points scored. They're 25th in the pass. How long do you stick with Eli? Because it's quite clear that you are moving the football when Saquon Barkley's in. But I have a lot of trouble with the way the Giants ownership and management is handling this Eli Manning situation. And I say that because the ownership this week came out, Mr. Mara came out this week and said, hey, we support Eli Manning, and Odell Beckham Jr. needs to shut up and catch more footballs.
Yeah.
Okay, that's completely true. He needs to shut up and catch more footballs. But Eli Manning's no longer a starting quarterback for the New York Giants, in my opinion. You don't have much behind him, but you cannot continue to run Eli Manning out there, in my opinion. What do you have to lose by starting their rookie behind him? I don't think you have anything to lose.
No, I don't think you have anything to lose either, and I think at this point your season's pretty much lost, and I think at this point you've seen the numbers that Eli can put up. You know what he is now, and I feel like I almost feel bad saying it, but we knew who Eli was going into this year. You knew he wasn't he wasn't primetime Eli. He wasn't helmet catch Eli. You know, like, that's not who this guy is anymore. He's at this point what I would call a guy who's playing past really his retirement time. He should be done already. He's just bringing in the paychecks.
Well, Kyle Lauletta is the guy that everybody in New York wants to see, but he played at Richmond. Like, that's not an exciting name, in my opinion.
And it is New York, and that matters. I mean, you need the New York Giants, the Jets. You know, the Jets at least have a young guy, right? The Jets have something. Okay, it's a young guy, like, okay, he's probably going to mess it up a little bit, but it's exciting. The Giants don't even have that. They have Odell, they've got Saquon, and they've got a couple other nice pieces. If they had a quarterback, they might actually do something, and that's just the biggest struggle.
Yeah, the Giants are terrible. They just cannot. They can't move the ball. They really don't. They don't do a whole lot of anything well, and I feel like you're close to wasting a pretty solid season out of Saquon Barkley, and I hope it doesn't get to the point where you wind up just wasting that kid for 2-3 years to come, because that would be tragic.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a huge mistake. I mean, why draft the guy if you're going to waste 2 or 3 years of his career? I mean, and to be clear, the only difference between wasting his career and actually making progress here is to bring in somebody else at quarterback and make progress. I mean, you look at his, you know, average yards per run, it's 5.2. Like, that's
Saquon,
a big number.
Yeah, Saquon, that's a great carry.
5.2 yards a carry, that's a big number. 4 is average. So I don't know. And then you look at, you know, 7 runs of 20-plus yards. Very impressive.
He's a weapon.
I mean, he's a weapon. I mean, you look at him against in the Eagles game, and I always go back to this play. The guy is jumping over people in the middle of the field after he jump cut. Like, it just is, I don't know.
It's impressive.
It's impressive out of him. I think at this point, they're way too loyal to Eli, and I think the only reason they're way too loyal to Eli is because they don't have a guy like a Baker Mayfield behind him who they drafted, who the fans are just desperately drooling over.
Yeah, and the other thing about Saquon that I like so much, by the way, while we're talking about the crappy Giants, is that he actually catches the football too. I mean, the guy is exactly what you need. I just think that team, whether it's Eli's fault or not, I think the New York Giants need to change a quarterback, and that's what makes them, in my opinion, the third worst team in the National Football League. The second worst team is the Arizona Cardinals, 32nd, dead last with David Johnson as your running back. They're dead last in running. 64 yards a game with DJ as your running back is terrible. Not only that, you're 31st. You're second to last in the pass at 156 yards a game. And, oh, by the way, you're 31st in scoring at 13.7 points a game.
Rough.
Their offense is a huge problem, and we talked about this a lot as well. Steve Keim, the general manager, has just done a terrible job of drafting players and talent on that offense. Larry Fitzgerald, whose dad now is criticizing the play calling and Steve Wilks and all this other nonsense, it's a mess. And Steve Keim, after this year, my guess is he's going to get let go, and there's going to be a complete regime change in Arizona, and I think they desperately need it.
Yeah.
Because Josh Rosen's actually not as bad as everybody thinks because their offense is terrible. I just think there's no weapons there right now.
Yeah, and maybe no weapons might be a tad strong just because you do have David Johnson. He will be with them. But you don't have wide receiver-wise. I mean, Fitzgerald is a name at this point. He's not a prolific wide receiver. He's a nice little story at this point.
I could be wrong, but I think he still doesn't have a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. At the end of the day for me with the Cardinals, they're always going to be a frustrating team to watch. They're always going to be a dumpster fire until Steve Keim is gone. And until you get somebody in that front office who knows how to draft and can really take advantage and leverage the draft, you're not going to be good. You're just not.
Larry's got 22 catches, 215 yards, 0 touchdowns, 3 big plays of 20-plus, 9.8 yard average. So his numbers aren't terrible. They just don't throw him the ball in the red zone, apparently. Yeah. And by the way, it needs to be said that their biggest issue is not probably weapons. You're right. I think it's still their offensive line, which is just putrid, terrible.
Yeah, and that's why you're right about Rosen. You can't say that Josh Rosen isn't a good talent, because he is a good talent. He's going to need some development, which is why it's awful that he's in Arizona, because he's not going to get it. But he needs some development. He needs some coaching. He needs some, you know,
completing 56% of his passes.
Like, it's not great, but it's solid for what he's got. And so I think if you gave him that good offensive line, you gave him a couple weapons, you gave him an offensive coordinator who actually play called aggressively, he'd be in better shape.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he would be in better shape. That means that there's one team who's worse than that whole dumpster fire in Arizona. That'd be the Oakland Raiders. Oakland is the worst team in the NFL, and I don't even want to talk about the players. I want to talk about John Gruden. I don't think John Gruden's going to get fired, because I think he's doing exactly what Mark Davis, the owner, Al Davis' son, Mark Davis, wants him to do. I think they're tanking on their way out of Oakland. But I think John Gruden's in a no-win situation. If they win in Oakland this year, it's bad for the franchise. If they tank in Oakland this year, fans are all upset, everybody's angry, and he's getting fired. So John Gruden, I think, found himself in the unenviable position of answering questions about tanking, and he basically said, hey, we don't get up at 4 in the morning to tank. Nobody here is tanking. Well, John, if you're not tanking, you're not very good at football. And I'm not saying that John Gruden should be talking about tanking or, yeah, oh, yeah, we're trying to lose games. But you have to have some talking points.
Yeah.
You have to have, we learned nothing from Bill Belichick's way of dealing with the media.
Yeah.
You can't just say, well, if we're not getting up at 4 a.m. to tank,
I'm John Gruden.
Well, but then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why is Derek Carr one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL? You know, why did you trade Khalil Mack? Why are you complaining about a pass rush after trading Khalil Mack? Right? Like, it's all this weird stuff that's going on in Oakland, And the sad thing is you have a strong base of Oakland fans who support that team. You have, in fact, such loyal support in Los Angeles that it is strangling the Chargers. Did you hear this story? The NFL in their meetings this week are going to be talking about the viability of having the Chargers in Los Angeles because they're struggling to sell PSL, seat licenses. They're struggling to sell tickets to San Diego Charger, Los Angeles Charger fans.
Yeah.
And I agree. I don't think they're viable in Los Angeles. And what did we say when the news broke that they were moving to LA? Well, hello, that's Raider country. What are Raider fans going to say about the Chargers coming from San Diego to LA? They're not going to support that team.
No.
And the worst part is people have opened up their arms and wrapped them around the L.A. Rams.
Jared Goff.
Because they're the L.A. Rams.
Yeah.
They've always been the L.A. Rams. They took a little vacation, if you will, to St. Louis. But they've always been the L.A. Rams.
Yeah.
The Chargers are the San Diego Chargers. San Diego Superchargers. I'll never do that again.
Thank you.
My point is, you're not the Los Angeles Chargers. You'll never be the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing what's going on. You're playing in a soccer stadium full of the other team's fans. The 49ers comes to mind. The Chargers, who actually are one of the top five teams in the NFL on my list coming up here in 20 seconds, but the Chargers are in so much trouble, and it's mainly because everybody else's fans, including the Raiders, are going to their games. They don't have any fans in Los Angeles. Anyway, here nor there. The point is, the Raiders have loyal fans, and they're this bad. And I think you have to ask about the viability of Derek Carr as a quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. I think it might well be time for them to go in a different direction because I don't think John Gruden is sold on Derek Carr.
No, but I think the nice thing is that anytime you're moving markets, you have a clean slate. You can pretty well do exactly what you want to do. So if you want to go ahead and you know cut Carr, let's say, or trade him, or do whatever you do, some kind of transaction with Carr, that's fine. That's good. That's fine and dandy. But you better get talent in return. You better get somebody who can do the job.
You better win when you move to Las Vegas.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt. Yeah.
After what the Golden Knights did, you can't go to Las Vegas and go, 1-15.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. So all of those issues, and by the way, they don't tackle very well. They don't have an offensive line. They don't seem to know when to run or pass at the goal line. They're trying to trade Amari Cooper. The Raiders are a mess, and that's why they're the worst team in our bottom five teams in the NFL, which is the Colts at 5, the Bills at 4, Eli Manning at 3, not the Giants, Eli Manning at 3, the Arizona Cardinals at 2, and the Oakland Raiders are the worst team in the NFL. The 5 best teams, number 5, those Los Angeles Chargers. Is Philip Rivers a low-key MVP candidate? I kind of want to make the argument that he is. Philip Rivers is absolutely dominating this year, and nobody's talking about him. Well, mainly because he plays in a soccer stadium full of the other team's fans, but that's neither here nor there. My point is, if you look at the Chargers and Philip Rivers, 9th in passing in the NFL, and then you start looking at their offense, they're 5th in points scored in the NFL, and you start looking at the way that they're running, Melvin Gordon is running his ass off. 9th in pass. Their wide receivers are ranked 8th in the NFL. They're number 1 in the run. The Chargers are actually really good, and Philip Rivers is getting no credit for it.
Yeah, I mean, he flies way under the radar, always have, pretty well, always will, while he's playing with the Chargers. And I just think they will beat a lot of really good teams, and they'll do it and surprise everybody doing it. But you watch them. You watch the dynamic between, Rivers and Melvin Gordon. When Melvin Gordon's going, it opens the floodgates for Rivers. The guy can just push it down the field because the defense is worried about Melvin Gordon getting out, turning the corner, getting up the field, and burning them for 20 to 25 yards. Once that happens, the game just opens up for that offense, and now we're talking about how many points they're going to win by. And the shame of it all is exactly what you were talking about. They're playing in front of the other team's fans. Every game for them is a road game. There is no home games for them.
And, by the way, Phillip Rivers is doing it behind a suspect offensive line. They're not very good up front. So that's why the Chargers are the fifth best team. How about those Saints coming off of a bye week? They're the fourth best team in our rankings this week. They moved up during the bye thanks to the Carolina Panthers sucking. They are all alone on top of the NFC South, and they did that during their bye, which is quite amazing. And what's more amazing is this Saints offense is freaking unbelievable. They're the third team as far as points scored. Like, I don't have to tell you how good Drew Brees is. He's an all-time legend, and their defense is legendarily bad. 29th in coverage, 23rd in total defense, and it's all pass because they're actually number 7 against the run. If they could cover anybody, I think they have a legitimate shot to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the problem is that's not who they are, and they're always going to be the team that is going to want the shootout. That offense is the team, right? Like, I get that their defense is going to get some stops, but that team is all about Drew Brees and his ability to push the ball down the field and put points on the board. At the end of the day, the question is always going to be, can you put up 40 points against the Saints? If you can't, you're going to lose. If you can, it's going to be close.
I actually think the Saints very quietly are putting together that kind of season. They're going to have to figure out how to cover. If they can cover, I think the Saints will have a legitimate shot to beat the Rams. I could see that happening in the NFC. I could. I'm not saying it's going to yet, but the Saints are right there. They're the fourth best team. How about the third best team? The Kansas City Chiefs are second-best team.
Tom, terrific.
TB12. Their defense is struggling. Mahomes is legit. They're number one in points scored. They're 27th in points against and 20th in coverage. We saw that against TB12. But I think what came out of that game against the Patriots, Mahomes is a playmaker. Yeah. And with all those weapons, once he gets out of the pocket and he breaks contain, you're in real trouble with that kid. And I think he put on a show. I do. They were down 15 points in the fourth quarter, and they wind up taking the lead. Like, I mean, that's the stuff of legends.
Yeah, and I think really the only reason they lost is because the Patriots offense knows how to exploit that Chiefs defense. And the way you exploit the Chiefs defense is you spread them out. You take advantage of their lack of ability to cover anybody. And you go down the field, and that's exactly what they did. And they had no trouble getting up and down the field. And I thought that game specifically was as advertised, but I really feel like when it comes to the Chiefs, Mahomes has proved himself at this point, because even though they lost the game, that was a hell of a game. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, he played his ass off. And so I just think, really, they are a powerhouse of a team. The defense, much like the Saints, is going to have to figure out how to slow people down. Once they do that, they're going to be a complete package.
And I think they're going to have to throw the ball to Kareem Hunt more. They need to establish a third target, and I don't think Sammy Watkins is going to be that guy, but Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are dynamic weapons. They've got to find a way to open up that offense a little bit more. But I love the Chiefs. I love what they're doing. That's why they're the third best team and our top five teams in the NFL. And number two, we need to stop the show for a minute. Okay, it's episode 200. It's a special day. It's a special episode, all that good stuff. We need to stop the show. We need to put ourselves in second position here, Jake.
Okay. I've done it. I'm ready.
All right. The Monty Show would like to issue an apology to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We are sorry for ever doubting you.
No.
We are sorry that we ever second-guessed your awesomeness. And that's why we've made you the number two team in our top five, bottom five. How could we ever doubt TB12? When he is hot, they're unbeatable. And for the first time in a couple of years, he now has a defense that can really stand up. They're the fourth ranked team in total defense. They're number three against the run, which in the AFC is going to be really critical. The McCourties seem like they can still cover. The speed was a problem against Kansas City, very clearly. You know, you saw Tyreek Hill have a lot of space at times when you really needed to have close, you know, proximity to him. They didn't. But their defense seems like they're making plays. And when Tom Brady's hot with that offense, I don't see how they are beatable.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a common theme at this point, but the offense seems to be dialed in New England now. I mean, the first 5 weeks of the year, they were just atrocious offensively, mainly because they were, you know, ridden with injuries. But you got Josh Gordon. Now you've gotten a few pieces back to go with them, so you're good on offense. The question is, can the defense slow people down? Can, you know, the defense stay with burners like Tyreek Hill? I don't think there's very few people who can stay with Tyreek Hill, so I don't know that that's much of a shot at that Patriots defense. But I think at the end of the day, if you give Tom Terrific, TB12, five-time Super Bowl champion, best quarterback in the NFL, including better than Aaron Rodgers, screw you, Aaron Rodgers.
Hot wife.
I think, you know, he's going to be in good shape, and they're going to win a lot of games.
By the way, I thought the meme that came out this week of Patrick Mahomes talking about Tom Brady kissing his kid on the mouth, and then Tom beats him in primetime, I thought that was amazing. By the way, stop. Just a note to all other NFL players, stop talking about Tom Brady kissing his son. Stop. Because he's kicking your ass. As soon as you do it, you get on the list, and he's coming for you. Sony Michel's a guy that not a lot of people, I think, are talking about. It just in general NFL terms. Quality. Like, when you're talking NFL and you're talking the Patriots, you know, you're talking about Gronk. And I'm telling you, Sony Michel is one of those breakout players. And James White is the perfect complement to him, because James doesn't have to carry the ball 20 times a game, but you can throw him the ball. He'll block well for you. I really like where the Patriots are at, and that's why they're the number two team in our top five teams in the NFL. And, of course, who's number one? The L.A. Rams. They don't have fan problems, Jared, like those crappy Chargers do. No, everybody else has a Todd Gurley problem. How about him going for 208 the other day in Denver? Oh, it's snowing, and, you know, Jared wants to go work at Subway instead of play quarterback in the snow. Yeah, I heard that joke this week. Sorry, I thought it was mildly funny. I didn't do well there. Anyway, the point is Jared Goff struggles, you know, playing in his first snow game, doesn't have the best game of his career. We'll just hand it to Todd Gurley for 208 yards. The defense actually made stops when they needed to, even though they had some issues there. But they're the number two defense. You know, they're getting after the quarterback. They're covering guys. It's still befuddling that they're not better against the run up front with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh there, but who cares? The Rams are the best team in football, and if Todd Gurley's just getting warmed up running the football, the NFL's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, what more do we need to say? They're a dominant offense, a dominant defense, and if Todd Gurley's going, they're in great shape. I mean, it's really that simple.
All right, let's play real or fake in quarterbacks real quick, because then we got to get to the baseball playoffs. All right, here are the guys that I think their performances are real. Okay, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is no longer a rookie.
Legit.
This guy is absolutely breaking out. You do it against Bill Belichick in Foxborough, and you make the plays he made absolutely real. Again, Philip Rivers, I think, is an MVP candidate. I know that a lot of people laugh at me when I say that, but I think what he's doing this year is absolutely real. I think Tom Brady's back. So many people had dug a six-foot hole for Tom Brady, and they were willing to throw dirt on the guy, and the career was over, and TB12, and, you know, all that stuff was dead. Well, he kind of came back to life this week, and I think it's been building now that, you know, he actually has receivers. I think what we're seeing out of Tom Brady is real, and I think what we're seeing out of Joe Flacco is real. And I know you hate Joe Flacco.
Yeah, not a fan. Not a big Flacco guy.
I don't know why you hate Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco is actually having a year. Like, what is it about Joe Flacco
He's just missing the it factor. When I think dynamic quarterback, I don't think Joe Flacco. He's been there forever. You know, I mean, yeah, he's proved it. He's had nice moments. He's won. He's done everything you need him to do, but there's just something about him. Like, when I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers, when I think those kind of caliber of guys, I mean, I'm not saying he's an Aaron Rodgers ilk, but I think great quarterbacks, I don't think Joe Flacco. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's a me thing. Maybe I'm foolish for that.
1,788 yards already, 9 touchdowns, 4 picks. I wish he completed a set at 70% like everybody else is right now, all the elite guys.
Yeah.
But I think Joe Flacco's legit, and I know that a lot of people question whether or not he's still capable of leading the Ravens back to the promised land. But I assure you that he is. And I think what you saw against you know, his in his toughest games at Pittsburgh, where he puts up 363 yards and two scores. You know, he struggles at Tennessee, but they still figure out a way to win. He in the biggest games, Cincinnati, where he torched the Bengals. He did have two picks in that game, by the way, but he puts up big numbers in their biggest games. I love Joe Flacco. I have no problem with him. If Joe Flacco is your starting quarterback, you've got bigger problems than quarterback, is what I will say, which I can't say about the list of guys that we're about to talk about, because I don't believe right now that Baker Mayfield has continued to excel. And I don't know what it is about Baker. The decision-making has completely gone away. I've seen a complete change in this guy, and frankly, I don't know how you fix it at this point, because you're starting to see somebody who, and I'm not even saying that he's making these decisions, you know, that are terrible decisions, but he tries to put footballs in places where you can't put footballs. And every week he's gotten progressively worse. And he's gotten worse because he went from the Jets to Oakland to Baltimore, a really good defense, where he, you know, puts up all these numbers but throws a critical interception, to the Chargers, which is a pretty good defense, where he throws two interceptions.
Yeah.
Like, you can just see the decision-making is what's starting to worry me.
Yeah.
And as the exposure gets greater and, you know, defenses get more tape on him, I think they're starting to exploit him a little bit.
Yeah, and I think when the going gets tough for guys like Baker, you will see him run more. And that's where things, for me, get really sketchy. If you are not committed to staying in the pocket, to playing that style of quarterback where you're only rolling out when you must or when it's a designed roll, you know, only running when you really, you know, when the pocket breaks down, when everyone's in coverage and you've got 15 yards of green in front of you, okay, I can live with that. But if you're running too early and you're taking hits and things like that, that's not going to work. That's not going to be good enough.
Yeah, and he's only completing 55% of his passes, which is terrible, because you have legitimate weapons. You have guys like Jarvis and Njoku, Higgins, Callaway. Like, you have guys who can catch the football, and he's not getting them the football. And that's why I'm not believing all the hype that's around Baker Mayfield. Here's another guy that I think is interesting. What do you make of Sam Darnold? Because I'm also not believing in Sam Darnold. I know a lot of people say he's improved. I'm not buying that. This guy is supposedly the best, most ready quarterback that we've seen in the draft in years.
No.
He's not. 9 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, under 60%. He's averaging 7.5 yards of completion.
Rough.
Really rough. And he's rated an 83. Like, what is it that you're seeing in Sam Darnold that makes you say, oh, yeah, this guy's legit?
He dominated in college. He dominated in college, and he dominated by throwing the football.
Where did he dominate?
Yeah, I get it. The Pac-12, USC.
USC. Who's the last USC quarterback to truly be a star?
I don't know
in this
his name
league?
Either.
Carson Palmer in recent years, but was he even?
No.
I think the SC quarterback struggle is real, Matt Leinart. I think it is real. And he's got a legitimate running back in Crowell. He's got, I think Terrell Pryor's an important wide receiver for him. If him, because it looks like Sam Darnold and Terrell Pryor are starting to figure it out. But he's got legit weapons in Anderson and Pryor. He's got to be better than he is.
Yeah.
I don't believe in him. I also don't believe in Dak Prescott. And I look at Dak very much the way I look at, you know, the mediocre quarterback, the middle of the table quarterback, where you're like, well,
Alex Smith.
Screw you, Jake. Alex Smith is a difference maker. But I look at Dak the way I look at, like, he's a cut above a guy like a Trent Dilfer.
Right.
Who, you know, that game manager guy. He's not special. He's not unique. He takes way too many chances, and he's a check down machine.
Yes.
He's Eli Manning. Ask yourself this question. What separates Dak Prescott from Eli Manning?
Well, I think for me, what separates is the athletic ability, the ability to run. Like, when we're legitimately asking that question, like, what is it that makes Dak better or a better option than Eli? I think at this point, obviously the age comes into it, but I think at the end of the day, if Dak is making good decisions and he's using his legs effectively, he's a solid quarterback, but he's not.
Completing 62% of his passes. He's only got 1,140 yards this year. He's only throwing for 172 yards a game.
But it's not like they have some prolific wide receiver.
172 yards a game.
Yeah, but who's he got to throw it to?
Eli Manning's throwing for 251. He's completing 68% of his passes. He's got 1,600 yards. He's got six touchdowns. Like, I'm telling you, Jake, that Dak Prescott, and you can keep that's a legitimate point. He lost Dez, and but he's got Cole Beasley, who I agree is not great, but Jeff Swaim is having a decent year. He's at 11.3 yards.
When we talk about total yards, he has nobody to push it down the field with. He's got a bunch of guys that are slot receivers. That's what he's got. He doesn't
Tavon Austin hasn't worked out. Alan Hearns hasn't been, you know, has not been the revelation people hoped he would be. But Dak Prescott is not a guy that is ever going to be a prolific pass production guy, in my opinion. I don't see him as special. Frankly, I don't even know that he has some huge ceiling that he's going to meet. Like, I see the improvement in Zeke this year. I don't see the improvement in Dak, and maybe I'm being too hard on him. Two more guys. Derek Carr. Is Derek Carr a franchise quarterback in the NFL?
No.
Because I'm starting to really worry about Derek Carr now. And that offensive line has massive issues. I know he's hurt. John Gruden and that whole organization is a mess. I get it. I get it, but he's got to play better football. Like, I want Derek Carr to be a good quarterback, but this is a guy, again, who just seems to turn the ball over at the wrong time, and they've lost to Miami and Cleveland and Seattle, those are average teams. They got throttled in Los Angeles against the San Diego Chargers. You know, like, they barely lost. What happened to the team that barely lost to Denver? Where is that guy? Where's the guy that completed 90% of his passes against Denver?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. And I think, for me, it's tough. For me, it's tough to really tear this guy down and really ask the question, just because it's just not, he's not in a good place. The organization is not in a positive light right now, I would say. I mean, once you let Khalil Mack go, that really changed things. I mean, everybody could tell, okay, now we're going downhill, we're leaving.
But like, he's got guys. He's got Marshawn. He's got Doug Martin. He's got Jared Cook and Jordy Nelson. And granted, Amari Cooper's dropping balls everywhere and they're trying to trade him. I get it. Derek Carr should be better than he is.
Yeah, I mean, I get that he has weapons, but at the same time, I just feel like when the vibe isn't there, when the vibe isn't in the locker room, when the vibe isn't on the field, it's not going to turn out. And I think he was good. This is a guy who we were talking about when he first came to the league. Okay, yeah, big Derek Carr guy. He's really good, really good.
Great.
Very high on him. And all of a sudden, he fell off. I just can't help but saying, okay, the organization's in a terrible spot. Can't tell me that's not affecting that entire team. And I get that he has weapons, but I just have trouble tearing him down right now for some reason.
I think it's one of those things where this is a big-time wait and see.
Yeah.
Maybe the Raiders are in a position where they can either trade him or draft a guy behind him.
Does
or
he have
whatever.
Value even to trade right now, though? Because that's a tough part.
If he were healthy, I think he would. But now he's so banged up and, you know, that meme of him crying on the field the other day just is never going to die. Okay, I haven't told you this guy. Who this last guy is. He's not on our show sheet. He wasn't in our prep. Read my mind. Who do you think I'm going to bring up?
Hall of Fame 2031, boy.
Yeah, buddy! Mitchell Trubisky. I fully admit, full disclosure, I am an unabashed Chicago Bears fan.
You?
Me? I was in here with Dicka. yes, I am a crazy Bears fan. I love the Bears. And everybody's in love with Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, he is absolutely positively got the shiniest knob in the world because everybody's shining this guy. Everybody loves this guy. He's the seventh rated passer. I'm just saying, this guy still makes tons of questionable decisions. He is, and the one thing I will say about Mitch He is improving. I've seen improvement. But I don't see this all-world quarterback that, you know, is standing and delivering. If you had an all-world quarterback, Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Bears,
Mr. Conservative,
that you believed in, why are you running the football? Third and five, trying to get into better field goal position. Why are you running the football? You know, just hand, you got this all-world quarterback. Who's your guy that you believe in? Seventh-rated passer in the NFL. Oh, because you're not a good play caller, Matt Nagy, number one. If we had a list of coaches I don't believe in, Matt Nagy would be there.
Mr. Conservative.
And number two, I just don't think that the people in that room who are in film study on Mitchell Trubisky, and I've watched the Bears game in Miami twice, and for some reason, I get it, the defense didn't do their job. Mitchell Trubisky did not do his job in this game. The interception was unforgivable.
Yeah.
Like in a
awful.
His continued apprehension to drive the ball into the end zone makes me crazy with confidence. Like he floats balls into the end zone and you can't do that. And he's got legitimate weapons. You know, he's got guys. He's got two backs in Tarik Cohn and Jordan Howard who can both catch the ball, who can both run the ball. You've got Taylor Gabriel, who's emerging as a big play threat. Allen Robinson, Trey Burton certainly is breaking out for the Bears. But here we go, sputtering in the red zone. Here we go, games on the line.
Losing to the Dolphins.
Why are we in overtime against Miami? And I get it that Khalil Mack had an injury, but is Khalil Mack really the entire defense?
No.
And the excuse this week was, well, it was hot. It was hot.
Who cares?
Guy, it's October. Are you really? It's not like it's snowing in Chicago. That's coming like in a couple of days. But it's not like it's snowing in Chicago and we're sub-zero. I just think there's a bunch of excuses. And right now I feel like Mitchell Trubisky's a darling in Chicago. And I'm not ready to put him on that pedestal. I see the ability. I see the talent. But this is not a rookie quarterback. And what do I say about all of these quarterbacks? What do I say about Patrick Mahomes? Right out of the gate, that guy had it. Aaron Rodgers, right out of the gate, that guy had it. Tom Brady, that guy had it. All the best quarterbacks, right out of the gate, are stars. Is Sam Darnold, right out of the gate, a star? No, he's not. Was Andrew Luck? Yes, he was. He was a star. Sam Darnold is not. Is Baker Mayfield a star right out of the gate? No, he's not. Was Drew Brees a star right out of Purdue? Yes, he was. See, you're still on that Baker Mayfield bandwagon.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I am.
I don't get it. All right. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We're watching the Astros in Sox. They're 4-4. Who's the best team left in the playoffs right now?
I'm still taking the Astros. I mean, that pitching staff is legit. And I get that Charlie Morton had an awful outing or whatever they did with that. But you get Verlander, Cole, and Keuchel. I mean, that's pretty solid, man.
Morton went 2 1/3 tonight. 3 hits, 3 earned, and walked 2. And they pulled him. And Rick Porcello, my guy.
Mm-hmm.
4 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned. 3 Ks, 68 pitches, still in the game.
Not great by his standards, but no. Solid.
But they're tied at 4.
Yeah, they're still in the game.
Right? So now you're in a situation where, in my opinion, this is must-win for Boston. Because if you're Boston and you win this game, you're up 3-1. It is must-win for Boston.
Yeah.
Because you know what's coming tomorrow.
Yep.
Verlander's coming tomorrow. This is must-win. And with the injury to Sale or the sickness or illness or
whatever it is,
it's a postseason fever. Let's be honest. I think Chris Sale, he's not the answer anyway. You're going to get Chris Sale followed by David Price. So you've got a lot of questions coming on the mound. Tonight's a must win, and they're tied at 4. I think Houston is on the edge of not competing in this series.
Yeah, well, I think that this is the deciding game in the series, because what's going to happen? If the Astros win the game, you're going back to Boston. Verlander's on the hill. He'll get you to game 7. You're in great shape, right? But if you lose this game, okay, now it's Verlander in an elimination game. Now we're going to have to survive Boston. And you know, it's just this whole thing where you've got to win this game.
Yeah, if they lose this game tonight, I think Boston's cooked. Because, not to be redundant, but I don't think the rotation goes in their favor. But, by the way, I think that the Red Sox are starting to figure out how to pitch to Houston. And there's something missing with Houston right now. They're not firing on all cylinders. That's what I think is, that's what's so interesting. And then in the Milwaukee game today.
Well, you know, bro. I just want to say, Craig Counsell, bro, you know everything, and you're a magician, so I appreciate you letting the Dodgers win today. That was good stuff.
Craig Counsell, you got played by yourself, as DJ Khaled would say.
Another one.
So if you didn't see the game, and I'm sure you did because, you know, everybody knows about this today by now, I would think. But because we're an awesome podcast, we're going to tell you that Wade Miley pitched to one batter and walked him. And because he wanted to play matchups, yeah, he pulled Wade Miley and brought in Woodruff, who went 5 1/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, 8 Ks, and absolutely ran out of gas in the sixth. And all those matchups. So essentially what Craig Counsell did today is he started a lefty to bring in a righty. And the reason he started that lefty in Wade Miley was because he wanted Dave Roberts to stack his lineup with right-handed bats like he did in Milwaukee. Problem is, Dodger sources indicated to Ken Rosenthal that they knew this was coming. So what did Dave Roberts do? He started Max Muncy at second base. Max is not a second baseman. He's a first baseman and some third base and occasionally some outfield. But he played really well at second base. And he also started Bellinger in center and Taylor in right. So then you pull this guy and Woodruff's there, so you've got left-handed bats, and then later what happens? Puig comes up, and what's Puig do? Puig drives in a big run, and Muncy drove in a big run, and Turner drove in a big run, and Dozier drove in a big run. So all the guys that didn't play because you pulled your little stunt came in and drove in runs.
Yeah.
He played himself. He played himself.
It's a mistake. It's a mistake, and I don't know why you would go away from, you know, what has been working for you. Why fix what's not broke? I don't understand why you overthought this. Now, I will say I do give him kudos for trying to think out of the box. Maybe, you know, I guarantee what was going through his mind is, hey, let's try and catch the Dodgers, you know, off guard here. Maybe by doing this we'll
surprise
them.
And he said after the game
them.
It was because matchups, and the Dodgers make it very difficult to get matchups against them.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I think you were trying to get an upper hand. I think you thought that you could outsmart the Dodgers. And what really surprises me, though, is that the Dodgers knew it was coming. And the only way they knew it was coming is that, you know, somebody leaked that. And there's no other way for that to come out.
But I think it's this nonsense that we're seeing with these bullpen starts. And Danny Graves and I were on ESPN Radio over the weekend, and Danny said the exact same thing. When you're seeing these managers pitch 6, 7, 8 guys in any given night, they're not helping themselves. Because eventually it takes a toll on you, and it's the Josh Hader thing with Milwaukee, where he pitches 3 innings. And you wind up today, you use Miley, and throw out Miley. He's going to start, he's probably... And I say probably starting game 6 back in Milwaukee. So throw him out, but use Woodruff, Burns, Soria, Cedeno, and Davies. Use 5 guys today.
The bulk of your pen.
I don't like it. I don't like using all of these guys. Kershaw was, by the way, fantastic today. Your boy, Clayton Kershaw, who I was really surprised he pitched this well. 7 innings, 3 hits, an earned run, 9 Ks, and 2 walks.
Seems more like it.
98 pitches in 7 innings is superb. And then outside of Ryan Madsen, you know, Baez, Ferguson, Kenley came in to close the game.
That's how it should be.
Their pen was really solid today. I think the Dodgers are in a really good spot. And you know the problem with that? I think the Brewers are the better team. But they're not right now. If I was going to lean one way or the other, I'd probably lean to the Dodgers winning this series.
Yeah, I still like the Dodgers offensively more. I mean, I know that Yelich just had a great year and he's, you know, an MVP candidate and they've got all that swag going for him. But I still like the Dodgers at the end of the day. I don't like Manny Machado's dirty play at first base. I think that made him look like a complete idiot. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers have a ton of talent, and it's just a matter of can they win a World Series with that talent.
Okay, so speaking of Manny Machado, he kicks Aguiar last night running by in the 10th inning. This on top of the I'm not the guy who hustles conversation interview that he did the other day with, I think, The Atlantic. I put up a Twitter poll today because, well, those are always sexy. And the question very simply was, you can sign only one this offseason. Who you got? Manny Machado or Bryce Harper? Overwhelmingly, 78% Bryce Harper. You can only sign one, Jake. Who you taking? Manny Machado or Bryce Harper? You're going to say Manny Machado.
Yeah, yeah.
You're such a jerk.
You know, I just think he can do more for you.
Okay,
but overall,
you know he's not going to hustle. You know that he, right now in this postseason, especially in this NLCS, has looked like a guy who has shrunk a little bit in the moment.
Well, maybe true.
And he looks like a guy that just is not great for your ball club in the postseason. Right now, today. Okay, it's not the World Series, it's the NLCS, I get that.
Is that not accurate about Bryce as well, though? Bryce didn't...
The difference is that Bryce Harper has that moment in him all the time. And Bryce has shown the ability to hit, like in the Giants series, Bryce has shown the ability to just dominate Hunter Strickland. And there's just so many things that Bryce can do, and Bryce always runs hard. He always covers gaps. He can play all three outfield positions. He can hit a ball to left, he can hit a ball to center, and he can hit a ball to right. I think he's a better player than Manny Machado is. I would much rather have Bryce's attitude, because at that level, when you're talking about talent between Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, Mike Trout, throw whoever else you want in there, it's not talent you're talking about. It's attitude. It's mentality.
Yeah.
And I like Bryce Harper over Manny Machado because Bryce Harper wants to be the king of the world, and he wants to earn it. Manny Machado wants it handed to him. He wants respect paid in the form of cash, and somebody's going to pay him that $350 million deal. And then he thinks that he has earned credibility and respect with that $350 million deal. And I don't think that's at all the case in baseball today.
No, you got to go out and swing. I would agree. I mean, I completely agree. But I also think there are certain organizations he could go to and that he wouldn't be a problem. And I think there's very few. And you would think the Dodgers are one of them, but clearly not. I think the Yankees are one of the few. I don't think he would be a problem on the Red Sox because I think the Red Sox would definitely put him in his place. But here nor there, it's a preference thing. I mean, we're talking about wine versus beer here, essentially. So, yeah. You just tell me what you like, and that's who you can have, you know?
Yeah, like I said, as a Cub fan, I'm hoping they're going to get a bat and another starting pitcher, or that Yu Darvish comes back and is the guy that you wanted him to be. Yeah, I'll take Bryce Harper over Manny Machado. Make sure you find us on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. And you can always find us online, themontyshow.com. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.